So good evening, everyone. We're going to do things in a slightly unorthodox manner at this point. If you notice, we do not have five board members here, and that is a requirement to have five board members to have, well, it's a majority of the board. For us, that's five. So we need five to have a board meeting. However, there are certain things that we can accomplish, and we want to be mindful of our students' time this evening. So we're going to start, because this doesn't have to be a part of a board meeting, we're going to start by doing our student recognitions. So I'm going to invite Ms. Hines up to the microphone, and we're going to start with our student recognitions for our strings players and our artists this evening.
So welcome, everybody, and as Dr. Graham said, we're pushing forward a very special time for our students who have come tonight. We're going to be announcing our music and art recognition awards this evening. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Ms. Asner.
And we should add, this is Ms. Asner's last time doing this type of award as she retires from our district in June, and certainly want to thank her for her time here.
Thank you. Okay. Well, good evening, Dr. Graham and President Slattery and the board and also the cabinet. And let me take this time to also thank this particular administration for understanding the role of art in education. So we do appreciate that. Let me tell you that because under the supervision of this new administration, specifically Ms. Erin Hines, our students have been able to leave the walls of the buildings and go back out into the community and participate in programs, visit museums, and see just how the arts are used in the community to express themselves in society. So these lists of students that we have done this. They've gone out into the community, and they have shown their work, and they have placed. So we're very, very proud of that. So the first person that an 11th grader from East, Maxwell Malcolm, he was acknowledged for his second, he got second place for his drawing in BAFA, which is the Bay Area Friends of the Fine Arts. So please come on up here, Maxwell. And if you would just stand up there, thank you. Okay, also from East is Lena Palicelli, forgive me if I didn't say that right, who is a ninth grader who also placed third for her sculpture at BAFA. And if you would come on up here, congratulations. Okay, next is Ella Malcolm from East, who is a 10th grader who received an honorable mention for her high tea installation. Let me tell you, this was exquisite. I loved it. She just did this whole thing about teas. It was just phenomenal. So congratulations, Ella. On the north side, we have Hannah Kamara. Okay, now Hannah has, God bless you, Hannah has won third place for BAFA for her computer graphics project, and at the same time, she has gotten Best in Show for her computer graphics at the Long Island Media Art Show, receiving a $2,500 scholarship to attend Five Towns College. So come on up, Hannah. Congratulations. By the way, their work is displayed throughout the room, so please take the time to look at that if you can. Okay, next we have Baleen Vaccaro from North, who is a 10th grader, and she also received Best in Show for computer graphics at the Long Island Media Art Show, receiving $2,500 scholarship to attend Five Towns College. Yay! Terrific. Next is a 12th grader from North, Daniel Fuentes, who received Best in Show for Computer Graphics as well at the Long Island Media Art Show. And he, too, has received $2,500 scholarship to attend the Five Towns College. And I'll mention two students who couldn't make it tonight. Nick Desimone from North, who is a 12th grader. Oh, you are here, Nick. Okay. You made it. All right. Super. Nick has received Long Island's Best Young Artist for 2019. His work currently is at the Heckscher Museum Gallery, so we're really proud of that. There's only 80 students who get that honor, and that will be displayed until May. So come on down. Congratulations, Nick. And Erica Valance, are you here? Okay, so Erica Valance from East is an 11th grader who also won the BAFA third place for a drawing charcoal, beautiful picture. So, again, these are all of our top art students. Very proud to have them.
And if you don't mind, we'll just take a picture with the art students now. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. We are going to be recognizing myself and Dr. Morrow. We take our picture first? Oh, sorry.
Could you also announce Lauren Gonzalez is here because she's a new hire?
Yeah. Sorry, I was a little ahead of myself. Okay, now moving on. We, myself and Dr. Moore, are going to be congratulating 25 students chosen as top scorers from last year's NISMAS Festival for the Long Island String Festival Association. It is a festival consisting of a series of concerts featuring the most talented violin, viola, cello, and bass students in grades 5 through 12 from all over Suffolk County. These students were nominated by their music teachers, as I said, based on last year's NISMA Festival. And this year, we were proud to have 25 students chosen to represent our district at this wonderful festival. So without further ado, our first recipient is Emily Balansky. Deanna Bridgeford. Mealy Das. Any students that we announced that were not able to come tonight, they will be receiving their award at their building. Kaylee DeBrico. Caitlin Dinkelman. James Hugh. Ashley Huang. Emily Huang. Sophia Huang. Alexis Lee. Well, you never know. Maybe one's got to practice somewhere. Kaylee Mancino. Valerie May. Vincent Palermo. Abigail Rabbit. Congratulations. Bella Schianti. Congratulations. And we'll get you yours, okay? Great. William Siegel. Sabina Raymond. Joseph Tan. Abigail Tanakor. Congratulations. Nadia Todd. Alexis Tramontana. Congrats. Ava Tirano. Matthew Ubenhauer. Congratulations. Yep, you got two. Congratulations. Double congrats. Sarah Vetter. Congratulations. And Juliana Wadua. Congratulations to all our winners. And if the board could just come up for a picture.
Okay, so we understand we have a lot of students here who probably have homework, who probably have concerts to prepare for, or a whole host of other events. I'm not going to give any inside tips here, but this might be a good time to, if you want to. Or you could stay for the budget presentation.
I will now turn it over to Dr. Graham for the superintendent's update.
Thank you, Ms. Slattery. I'm not going to say anything until Nicholas and Kaylee speak, because I always take the good thoughts that they've already had. So I'm going to pass the microphone over to both Nicholas and Kaylee to give us an update from East and North.
Thanks, Dr. Graham. I know sometimes you overlap the same activities, so it's good. last Wednesday, North had a National Honor Society induction. And then on Monday, 2 days ago, we had our Technical Honor Society induction. So congratulations to all those inductees. Those are two big induction ceremonies. Last Friday, we had our second signing day for collegiate athletes, and we had the chance to host Dr. Graham along with some other administrators for a great celebratory event. So I appreciate them coming down. Over the weekend, we had a bunch of track competitions. Boys and girls track team ran at the St. Anthony's Invitational. And then on Monday, the boys track team closed out our league season with a win over Ward Melville, which was very exciting on senior day. Our music program had the second of their three concert installment last night, and the third is tomorrow at 7:30, I believe. And students have been managing a lot with studying and preparation for AP exams, so you can imagine it's very busy, and we're all focused on finishing out the year strong. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm proud to say that our final March Madness efforts raised $2,200 for Kayla Spiro. We were able to come together as a school and also make a really special video wishing her well, so that was really awesome. Go Sachem. Unfortunately, our ALS Ride for Life had to be canceled because our guest of honor was having some wheelchair troubles, but we do plan on keeping the tradition going, and we are expecting them back next school year for an assembly in the fall and a walk in the spring. Since we have limited class days left, student government is pretty much done fundraising for the year, and we are just working on elections for next school year. We have lots of crazy promises like dogs and Gatorade in the water fountains. Last week, in honor of May 1st, all the seniors got to wear their college shirts, so it was a really special experience to see where all of our grads are going. And also, this week, our school had an acoustic cafe night where all different musical performers had the opportunity to showcase their wonderful talents. I know everybody really looks forward to that every year. We also had some really awesome field trips. A bunch of the foreign language classes were going to the Museum of Modern Art either this week or next week. And the Diversity Club got the chance to visit the United Nations, and I didn't get to go, but everybody said it was really amazing. Finally, I would just like to wish any students here good luck on their final APs. I think all of them left them. And I hope you all have a really great night. Thank you.
Thanks, Kaylee. Thanks, Nicholas. So we are actually going to move forward with our budget hearing presentation at this point. One of the things that I just want to remind you is as you are looking at our interactive calendar and seeing all of the things that are taking place in the district, I invite you to get out to see one of the concerts, to see an athletic competition, to check out an art show or any of the other things that are happening, an Honor Society induction. There are tremendous things taking place throughout our district each night at this time of year. One of those events is the PTA's Sports Night. Unfortunately, it was scheduled for this Friday, and the weather is not as nice as we had hoped for, and they've postponed that. So Sports Night will take place on May 31st, so save the date. And now we're going to, John O'Keefe, myself, we're going to move into the budget hearing presentation.
You're good now.
Okay, so John and I have been traveling around the district at this point, presenting this to anyone who will listen. I think over the past 2 days, we've done this presentation six or seven times.
This one's slightly different.
Slightly different, yes. So while it's second nature for us, a lot of you may be hearing it for the first or second. Some of you have been hearing it for the maybe 10th time. But we're here. We're happy to present this. If you know of people who want to listen, we'd be happy to present it. We have from now through May 21st until the budget vote, and we'd be happy to share this information with as many people, get the word out about the budget. So I'm going to pass this over to John to start the budget hearing.
All right. Good evening, everyone. This is basically a summation of, you know, all the presentations that we've been doing since the beginning of January. So just to go over some quick facts about the proposed budget, because this is now the board-adopted budget. This will be the budget that the voters vote on May 21st. As proposed, the budget is $327,241,000. That's a $4.3 million increase over the current year budget, which is a 1.35% budget-to-budget increase. Now, if we take a look at the eight-year average since the inception of the tax cap, the average budget-to-budget increase is 1.63%, so this budget is very much in line with that typical average that we see. Last year was a little over 2%, you might remember. It ebbs and flows slightly year-to-year depending upon differing factors, but this one's very much in line with that. Now, at the bottom of the slide, that's the proposed levy. That's the portion that the taxpayers are contributing towards paying for the budget. Next year, it's proposed at about $191 million, roughly. That's a $3.7 million increase over the current year, which is 1.99%. That is within the tax cap, so it only requires a simple majority vote. But that eight-year average is about 2.93%. It's nearly 3%. And I said there are factors that contribute into that that I touch on briefly later on in the presentation. I know it's difficult to see here. State law requires that we show the budget in what's known as the three-part form. Technically, the part that I need to show to you, and obviously you have the line by line that's on the district's website, so all the lines are there for you to take a look at, is to give you the numbers in the categories of administration, program, and capital. But I expand on it a little bit, and I know from the seating it's probably a little difficult to see, hopefully, from your seat. It's a little easier if you have the presentation. But I just want to show you what's in the administrative categories, what's in the program categories, and what's in the capital categories. So just simply, that first line is the current year budget, and the second is where we're comparing it to the proposed budget. So again, a modest increase across all categories. Certain things you're going to see going down, certain things you're going to see rising modestly. A couple of key points to point out to you. You know, you see a hole here where there's nothing budgeted under community recreation. That's where child care used to be budgeted for in the budget. So now child care is still continuing. It's run by scope, but instead of it being run through the district's books, it'll be run out of the district's books, so the revenue and the expenditure get removed from the two budgets. The parents will be paying the tuition directly to scope. Other areas of the budget, you know, that may have gone up or down, you see a large, and again, it's very difficult to see from where you're sitting. You know, our capital projects, there is an increase there. There's about a $3 million decrease in some debt payments. Other than that, you know, it's best if you really want to take a good look at it to look at it line by line. Now, on the flip side, you need a revenue budget to support the expenditure budget. Main categories are up top. You've got state aid, your property tax levy, and payment in lieu of taxes. So state aid, you're seeing, is going up by about $1.4 million, or just a little over 1%. It's not the 2% or 2.5% that the governor's been touting. You know, it's still an increase, but it's not the percentage increase that's being advertised. The levy, like we said, is the 1.99% increase, and payments in lieu of taxes, those are properties that are not on the tax rolls that make a pilot payment. There's a modest increase there, about $200,000. The bottom is our miscellaneous categories. So things like charges for services, you're seeing a big drop there. It's going from $2.6 million to $943,000. A big chunk of that drop is the tuition that parents pay for child care is no longer in that section of the budget. I've also made adjustments to other areas like the fees that the students pay towards driver's ed. Participation hasn't been as high as we had anticipated, so I backed off some of those numbers, things like that. The second category you're seeing rise by a little over $1 million, where it says use of money and property. That's where we account for our interest that we earn on monies in our bank accounts, as well as use of our properties, whether it be, you know, community use, you know, Waverly Fields, things like that. But more importantly, it's the rental of Sequoia and Tecumseh. Next year, Eastern Suffolk BOCES takes over the full buildings. That's where the majority of that $1 million increase is going, because their rents are obviously rising to account for the full fact that they're taking the buildings. Next category is just miscellaneous. That's donations. That's PTA donations for things like arts and ed. That's insurance reimbursements, et cetera. It stays at about $2.5 million a year. The library debt service, the library is now paid off, so the debt service on the library falls off the budget, so I don't need to have that component there. Medicaid reimbursements, that second to last category. Some students are Medicaid eligible, so we do bill Medicaid for their OT and their PT and speech. Those are the monies we receive for that. Last category, you're seeing no money on either side. This is another year where we're not utilizing any fund balance or reserves to balance the budget. You know, so we're living completely within our means and not utilizing fund balance to balance the budget. So again, the two budgets match, balance $327 million. Property taxes, again, a difficult topic to discuss because there's a lot of factors outside of our control. The only thing that the district controls and the taxpayers control is how much you're voting on for that proposed levy. So the levy is $191 million, roughly. We got a couple of factors here in Sachem that complicate that. We're in three different towns. We're in Brookhaven, we're in Islip, and we're in Smithtown. So I have this $191 million bill. I need to know how much to send to each of those towns. Well, I don't know what that breakdown of percentage is until the fall. So I can't tell you with any certainty what portion of the tax bill would be apportioned to each town. But at all things perfect, if everything stayed as it is right now, these numbers in this first column, these are the final school tax numbers in this year based on the average assessed value of the average home. If everything were to be equal and the levy would go up 1.99% and your taxes were to go up that exact same amount, the annual increase to the taxpayers between $116 on the Brookhaven side to $134 on the Smithtown side. Now, that's before STAR savings. And again, this is just the school side of the property taxes. You still have your other components of your property tax bill. The average home is determined by the towns. We don't control the assessed values. And since it is a tax cap compliant budget, you will still receive those tax rebate checks. And as you know now, they are based on income and they are tiered. The higher your income, the less the rebate. But they have increased the amounts over each year that you will get back. So actually, you might see a larger check next year than you're accustomed to seeing, depending upon your income. This is purely for illustration. This is the legal notice that we have to mail home to you. This was mailed today. This is the state's school district budget notice template. Just simply going over it, and I know you can't see it from where you are, the first column is the current year budget and the numbers that we need to disclose as part of the notice. The middle column is the proposed budget that we've been discussing, and the last column is the contingent budget. So we go out to the voters on May 21st. If that vote were to be voted down, more than likely we'd go back to the voters with the same or a different budget. If the budget is voted down for a second consecutive time, you do have to go to contingency. There are legal requirements now for a contingent budget. It is different than it was 8 years ago before the tax cap era. The first thing that has to happen is that your tax levy, which is this center section, it's a little hard to see, the levy next year could be no more than the levy this year. The next thing that needs to occur is all capital projects need to come out of the budget. So you might remember we have $5.5 million worth of capital projects going on for next year, whether they're building repairs and renovations or the 6 new school buses. All of those would have to come out of the budget. The next thing that comes out of the budget by law is all equipment. So whether it's athletic equipment, IT equipment, doesn't matter what type of equipment, any equipment needs to come out of a contingent budget. So that's really what's in that fine print that you'll see when you get the notice at home. It's saying that the $6.9 million would need to come out of the budget. It lists those different items. Down at the bottom, it just recaps what the STAR amounts are estimated to be for next year.
One of the things that we wanted to just point out to the community as well, those did go in the mail today. Those are being sent home for the first time in English and Spanish. That's a requirement by the New York State law. And that's something that actually has been a law, and districts are now all complying with that law, and us included. So that is being sent out in both English and Spanish today. So it might look a little different than the format that you see right there. And one of the things that we've really been talking about since I've been here with the Board of Education, with our community, with our faculty and staff, is this idea of sustainability with our budget. And we want to really be in a situation where we're not going through these large ups and downs in terms of hiring people and then talking about what are we cutting in a subsequent year, and really talk about how can we develop programs and enhancements district-wide that are sustainable. Sustainable for the school district, sustainable for the community. And within this budget, we believe we've done that. We've maintained all of our K-12 instructional program, our advanced placement, our honors, our college-level courses, our music and art offerings throughout the district, our athletic opportunities, our PD initiatives, and our instructional technology focus. Last year, we had put 6 laptop carts in every single one of our 10 elementary schools. Right now, we're putting 9 laptop carts into each of our 5 secondary buildings. We want to continue to infuse more and more technology into each of our schools. Now, in addition to maintaining, we're also enhancing. And we've added within this budget an ENL and reading teacher based on student need. We have additional teachers for the elementary to accommodate the elementary day, that change that's going to affect for next year. We have 2 teachers to support, science teachers to support changes to grade 8 science. What we're doing is trying to open up opportunities so that we're offering more students in grade 8 access to honors earth science while in 8th grade, and that will hopefully give them more access to even higher level sciences along the way. That does require some additional staff. Similarly, we're going to support science research with a full FTE at each high school. Currently, it's a part-time person, and I don't know if you know this. I think I've mentioned this here before, but we did have a Regeneron semifinalist this year. One of only 6 ever in Sechem's history. And that's, for those of us that have been around a little longer, that's the former Intel Science Competition. So that's a pretty prestigious award nationally. So we're going to support that program more. We're adding a technology teacher, 6 teaching assistants to support a variety of needs, clerical staff at the high schools. We're expanding co-curricular club offerings. We're going to have a pep band at both high schools next year that will play at the home. They'll sit in the stands. They'll play at the home football games, the Sachem fight song, and I don't know, maybe We Will Rock You or something like that during the game. But it's a nice thing to sort of bring some of the school spirit back to the district. Similarly, we have a marching band program that has an associated color guard. That's the flag team. There's a winter season for that as well, so we've added a winter guard program to this budget. We have additional middle school athletic opportunities. We review participation for all of our athletic offerings. We look at the number of students who came out for a team, the number of students who were cut from a team, and the number of students who continued throughout the entire season. And we looked at that over the past 3 years, and we found that we can support, with the numbers of students who are coming out for those teams, we can support an additional volleyball for boys and girls and additional basketball for boys and girls at all of our middle schools. And we want to engage students in our schools, right? Because if a seventh grader comes out for a team and gets cut, it's less likely that they'll come out as an eighth grader. And we really want to make sure that they're engaged with our schools. We continue to fund technology here. As I mentioned before, the laptop carts. We have Brightlinks throughout the district, document cameras, more robotics. We have a number of athletic equipment items within this budget. This year, I think we were doing the scoreboards for baseball fields. They're not entirely done yet, but they did arrive. And now we're doing the softball scoreboards in for next year. So we're going to continue to try to improve some of the equipment needs within the athletic program. And then, as Mr. O'Keefe mentioned earlier, the capital expenditures that we're trying to really build into our budget, this includes new lockers at Seneca and Sagamore. Did anybody go to Seneca or Sagamore here? It's probably the same lockers as when you were there. Oh, no, it definitely is, right?
Yes.
Definitely is. Same lockers. So we're going to upgrade those lockers. We have auditorium renovations at Seneca and Sagamore, Linwood cafeteria roof, Hiawatha, Chippewa, and Sagamore parking lot improvements, Nokomis sidewalk replacement, classrooms here at Samoset, and then asbestos tile abatement throughout the district, and then the 6 school buses, as Mr. O'Keefe had mentioned.
Okay. Now, the next step is that there's actually 2 propositions, which some of you may not know, that'll be on the ballot. Proposition 1 is always for the budget, yes or no on the budget. You will have a Proposition 2 to consider this year, and that's the establishment of a capital reserve. Now, you might remember the state controller came into the district in 2017, spent about 6 months looking at 6 years' worth of data on Sachem, trying to determine, you know, how we ended up in that position of only having $16,000 of fund balance. And one of the things that came out of that report was a requirement that we establish a fund balance plan, which the board did establish, and they reaffirmed this past October. It needs to be reaffirmed each year. It talks about a capital reserve because it is one of the recommendations of an appropriate place to put surplus. There's a lot of confusion around fund balance. People just hear fund balance and they think it's just a big pot of money. But actually, it needs to be in specific reserves that can only be used for those particular purposes. So what reserves do we already have? And that's those next 4 bullets. We have an employer retirement system reserve. Those are monies that can be held aside, used specifically for the employer contribution part of the payment to the state for our civil service employees. The workers' compensation reserve. We are self-funded with workers' compensation. There's not an insurance policy, so dollar for dollar for every claim that's out there, or if somebody gets seriously hurt, we pay for those claims. This is our safety net to help pay those claims. Employee benefit accrued liability reserve. Upon retirement, many units throughout the district have various clauses in their contract to pay out of sick days, vacation days, etc. This is the particular reserve where monies can be held to pay those things. The only part that the board has any discretion really over is what's known as unassigned fund balance. Unassigned fund balance is what they call in the news the rainy day fund, things like that. It has a legal limit. You can only have 4% of your budget set aside in unassigned fund balance. That's the portion of fund balance that Sachem hit $16,000 in. Over the last 3 years, we've built that back up to the legal limit, which is where we'd like to keep it, and that's about $13 million. So this would be another reserve to supplement these other reserves as an appropriate place to put fund balance. Now, why would you need this particular reserve? Well, last few years, we've been slowly building capital work into the budget. But you look around, you know that there's capital needs throughout the district. There's certain things that you only do once every 10, 20 years. Having this reserve to pay for those things helps mitigate those expenditures, because you can build more money into the budget by putting it in to transfer to capital, and it will raise the levy, but then you'll have big spikes year to year in your tax levy, which you want to avoid. You'd like to keep the tax levy as level as possible for the taxpayers. As I said, it was a recommendation from the Comptroller's office. And the last bullet just really talks about, you know, getting away from our reliance on indebtedness. It doesn't mean that, you know, we'll never go out with another bond, but utilizing this reserve along with our plan of using monies in the budget year to year could help reduce any future need for indebtedness. Because not only are you paying that principal off, obviously you're paying interest over time. And just to give you an illustration, and it might be a little hard to see from the seats, but looking at next year and forward, this is the district's current outstanding debt table. So this is all the money that we owe on all the bonds. So looking at the 2019-20 year all the way through 21-31-32, 13 years out, we still owe $162 million on our bond debt, and nearly $30 million of that is interest alone. So I think this is an important thing to look at to help consider why we would look for that reserve. We really wouldn't like to use the credit card anymore if we have to. We'd rather have the money in hand, pay as we go. So unfortunately, Allison helps us create this wonderful ballot, and our friends and our attorneys write the legal proposition, and it's not always necessarily the easiest thing to understand. But trying to distill what it is I'm asking you to vote on is we're asking the voters to consider a capital reserve. Now, all of our other reserves were established just by board action. All of our other reserves don't have a timeline. They can last on indefinitely. All of our other reserves, other than unassigned fund balance, don't really have a legal limit of how much can be in them. The capital reserve is very restrictive. You have to tell the voters how many years the reserve will stay in existence. You have to tell the voters what the maximum amount of money that will be placed in the reserve is. And you have to tell the voters what's the maximum amount in any given year if you have surplus that you'll place in the reserve. So in this case, we're asking for a 10-year reserve with a maximum $30 million limit, with a maximum of $6 million a year that we can place into the reserve. So for example, let's say over the next 5 years, we do have ample surplus. The board makes a decision, you know, after speaking with our auditors, that it's a prudent thing to do to place those monies in the reserve. We place the money in the reserve for 5 years. Let's say it's fully funded at $30 million. In that next year, we go to the voters, because you can't spend the money without going back to the voters. You need the voters to put it into the reserve. You need the voters to take it from the reserve. So in that sixth year, we go to the voters and we say, we need a roof on Samoset. We need a roof on Seneca. It's $10 million. We can go out with another proposition, ask the voters to take that money for the reserve for the specific purpose of doing those two projects at an amount not to exceed the $10 million, at no additional cost to the taxpayer. And so now the reserve's only got $20 million in it. I can't, the following year, place $6 million more in there. That reserve has now hit its limit. It can't have any more. Over the next few years, you would spend that reserve down. At the end, if there were any monies left, they would just roll back into fund balance. But what you could do is go back out to the voters to establish another capital reserve. But in this case, we've got a broad reserve with a limited life, with a realistic budgeted amount. Some of the things that we've had people ask, because there is confusion about this reserve. You know, every time there's a proposition up before voters, there's a cost behind it. What's the cost if you approve proposition number two? There is no cost, because all it is allowing the district to open the savings account. The savings account will be opened. If there are operating surpluses and it's appropriate to place them in the reserve, the board will move them to that reserve, and only you can authorize the board to take them from the reserve to use on capital projects around the district, or even things like purchases of buses. We can purchase equipment from this particular reserve. So like we said, how do we appropriate from the reserve? Voter-approved proposition. So if the voters approve this on May 21st, and there are funds on June 30th, and we place them in the reserve, when can we use them? May of next year. So say we put $4, $5, $6 million in the reserve, and next year we want to put the new roof on Samoset, and we need $5 million, and there's $6 million in there. We could actually come out with a proposition next year, along with our other capital work. Do we have the authorization to take those monies to do this roof? And the last bullet talks about, you know, in the past we've relied on bond campaigns, and one of the biggest selling points, not just in Sachem, all districts. We do a bond campaign because the state gives us building aid. You know, and here in Sachem we have a very generous building aid ratio. It's 76%. Very few districts get that much money back from the state on capital projects. Every dollar we spend on a project that's aidable, we get 76 cents back. So you spend a dollar today, you sign off that the project is done, and over the next 15 years, the state gives us a payment towards it. It does not matter how you pay for the capital project, whether it's from the budget, whether it's from the bond, or from this reserve, you get the same 76% on any eligible project. Now, certain projects aren't eligible. So say we were just doing the parking lot out here and there was nothing being done to instructional space. Site work like that is not aidable. But we're doing new science labs in Samoset. That's aidable. We're doing the renovations to the Seneca, Sagamore Auditoriums. That's aidable. Things like that. So all instructional related projects receive that same 76% aid. So that's an important concept to understand. And that's really all I had. I know this is basically a summary of the presentation I gave to the board last meeting. Are there any questions specific to this one? Yes. You stay there.
John, I know that we addressed this once before, but I don't remember. In the event that the capital reserve is established and then it expires and we don't establish it once again, where does that money go at that point?
It could be utilized for debt service.
It can.
Or it can go to fund balance.
Okay, that was my question. It could be used to pay existing bonds that we have.
Correct.
All right, thank you.
If those bonds are already past the call period.
And then, Dr. Graham, you mentioned the laptop carts. We went from 6 to 9.
We had 6 added to each elementary school last year, and this year we're adding 9 to each secondary building.
When will we see laptops for each kid at a certain grade? If you can, 5, 10 years, where you hit 6th grade and the school gives you a Chromebook.
Yeah. I mean, I've worked in a district that's done a one-to-one initiative. The district was a quarter of the size of Sachem, and so it does take a tremendous amount of outlay. And then not only do you have to do the outlay for the initial purchase, you have to be able to have a cycle of replacement and replenishment. So I don't know when. We haven't really explored a timeline. I just know because of the number of devices that we would need, it would be prohibitive initially. And certainly it couldn't be before we upgraded the infrastructure. So we know that as a part of the Smart Schools bond that was just approved after 2 years, there is a wireless project for every building throughout our school district included within that bond. So we're starting the work now, but we're still probably a year or two out from that work being completed. Okay. So I would say at a minimum, we couldn't even explore a one-to-one initiative prior to that.
Okay. It's nice to dream, so.
Yeah, and the way we're building them in a quarter of each year. They'll all start expiring on a cycle, just like we're doing with the buses. Not that at one time you need to replace every single computer in the district, which is kind of like where it was when we got here.
I just want to see our kids, when these little school districts, every kid gets a Chromebook.
Yeah.
I want our kids to get a Chromebook at some point, 20 years down the road, then.
I would say.
And, John, I think I've asked this before, but most districts do the Capital Reserve Fund, correct?
There's actually in my professional group, there's a compilation that goes around this time of the year. There are 70 of the 121 school districts that have one or more capital reserves. So we're actually one of the few large districts. All of our large neighbors have capital reserves.
Right. So it's just in lieu of always doing capital improvements by bond, which then puts us in debt, and then we're paying interest on it. This is a way to do capital improvements without doing that.
Yeah, I mean, in certain cases, the bond campaign, you know, might be appropriate if it's a large project. Obviously, new construction would need to be done that way. But if you're just doing maintenance and renovations and repairs and restoration and things like that, it's much better if you can not to do it within the context of a bond because, quite frankly, you know, new construction is a 30-year bond note. But you can have 15 or 20-year notes on the other types of work. Some of that work may already need to be redone before you're done paying it off when you're doing, you know, one of the bond campaigns we considered when Dr. Graham and I first arrived was actually to start buying all the things like the buses and the equipment through a bond. You'd be paying those buses off over 20 years. Half of them may already be in the scrap heap by the time you're done paying for them, you know, because an average life of a bus is only 12 to 15 years. So it's definitely a better way to pay as you go. Certainly if we had to add a wing on a building or do some major construction down the road, a bond might be needed. But for the type of restoration work we're doing, we continue to build. I anticipate, based on the fact that I know that we'll have more debt fall off next year, that we might be able to raise that $5.5 million to, say, somewhere between $7 and $8 million. And again, no change to the levy. You know, that would be my recommendation, to utilize transfer to capital as well as this reserve as a way to take care of these projects in a timely fashion.
And this way we can keep our buildings on a maintenance program where they're not
right.
getting to the point.
Yeah, we're not always being reactive. We're being more proactive.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
So just to be 100% clear, like if we all voted to have this capital reserve, then we have to vote, we as in the taxpayers, not the board, to use that money.
Correct. Whereas all the other reserves
right.
is just board action.
Right. Thank you.
John, added to that also, the board, there's not a need for a vote to put money into it once it's established, though.
Right. At the end of right. each year, well, you will resolve to put money into it.
The board will, not the...
No. Yeah. The public will know what you resolve to place in it. There'll be a public resolution stating how much you're placing in it. But the community does need to vote to put money in annually. They only need to vote to take the money out.
Right. So it's really giving the taxpayers a lot more
control. Of that money, because in theory it was theirs. They were taxed for it. We didn't use it. It was surplus. But we're earmarking it for these specific projects. Right. You know, no different than you saving for a new roof on your house or new windows. You put money aside in a savings account. You finally have 30 grand. You know you need a new roof. You call the roofer and you get your roof done.
John, the in explaining how the fund is funded, I think you had said that we would utilize excess funds at the end of the school year.
Correct.
For example, if we're
surplus.
Okay.
Yeah.
If during the year we have an outlay of money that's unusual, and we'd have to use that money, you know, prior to the end of the year, we would not have that amount at the end of the year to put into the fund. So it's not necessary that we have to put money into that fund. It's just after we have it left over.
No. Okay. And they could establish this reserve, and the board might decide, because we do know that, you know, like our workers' comp reserve is not fully funded. We know that our employee benefit accrued liability reserve is not fully funded. There are decisions that could be made of where surplus would be placed into the various funds. I would typically confer with our external auditors. Then I'd make a recommendation to the board, and then you would make the ultimate decision about where the monies are placed.
You had stated during the year that you, at most times during the year, do not know that number till probably July or August, until all our funds are expended. So you would not know that number until probably the beginning of the next year.
Late December, early January. Now everything is in full circle. The full staff is here. I know what the payroll is. I know what the benefits are. I know what the expenditures are. I know if there are any changes in bus fleets. I know if there's any special education students have come in and, you know, or in expensive placements. So I can start in January, and each month we run projections on where we stand. It's actually one of the things that Mr. Sachs works on month by month. We take a look at the current expenditures. We look at all the open purchase orders. We look at what available funds there are, and we project out, both on the expenditure side and the revenue side, where we're going to land by year end.
Again, so I understand the timeline. We're talking about the fall or the beginning of the next school year until you determine what amount could go into that fund balance.
It's not finalized till usually like August.
August, okay, thank you.
Yeah, so it's actually after the year's closed. You know, because there are bills that do roll in over the summer, sometimes special ed placements. We get various bills over the summer, which sometimes take us by surprise. But we have a pretty good idea by this time of the year where we're going to land. July and August, we close the books. Hopefully all of those other expenditures have come in. We've satisfied all of our debts. And then we know what the actual true surplus is, because by October 15th, we have to report those numbers to the state. Anybody else? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can I please have a motion for approval of the minutes?
Motion.
Tony, Meredith, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. The visitors section, just have, that'll be at the end of the meeting. It's for a non-agenda item. Now we're on page 2, business items, consent agenda for business items 3A1 through 3B2. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Meredith, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Personnel items, consent agenda for teacher items 4A1 through 4A13. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Mike, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.
Ms. Slattery, if you don't mind, can I interject?
Sure.
I believe we have a number of our new appointees for teaching positions here this evening, and I just wanted to ask them to stand and congratulate them and welcome them to Sachem. So I know we have a couple of new teachers in here. I saw you all. Come on. We welcome you. I think we have two of our appointees are actually Sachem alumni as well, and so we welcome you back. And we want to just remind them that this is a great responsibility that you've been charged with, and we know you're up to the task. They went through a tremendously rigorous process to get hired here. And so I thank our administrators for being mindful, our teachers who participated in those committees. And again, I congratulate those individuals here this evening. Congratulations.
Okay. Congratulations and welcome to Sachem. We're on page 8, consent agenda for teacher assistant items 4B1 through 4B3. May I please have a motion? Sarah, second. Meredith, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Consent agenda for support staff items 4C1 through 4C7. May I please have a motion? Bill, second. Tony, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now on page 11. Administrator items 4D1 through 4D4. No. Right. So 4D1, resignation of administrative personnel. Motion. Sarah, second. Meredith, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. 4D2, probationary appointment of administrative personnel. Motion, Mike. Second, Bill. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Can I interject there also?
Yes.
Okay. So you might have noticed this, and again, this is inside baseball for an agenda. Mr. Larson, who's been with us, resigned from a position. So for a moment, Andy, you were unemployed. and then just moments later, Andy was appointed. I just wanted to take a moment to let everybody know that Mr. Larson was appointed as an elementary principal. We're happy to announce that he's being appointed to this role. He's been with Sachem for 17 years. He spent his first 6 as a teacher at Waverly Elementary, and following that as an administrator at the district level. He's been an assistant principal at both North and East, and he was actually a principal at Sagamore. Unfortunately, he was excessed when we closed middle schools and had to return to his spot as an assistant principal. Certainly, East was the beneficiary of that return. So we have a new leadership opportunity for Andy, and we welcome him and congratulate him to that new role in the district.
For D3, tenure appointment of administrator personnel. May I please have a motion? Sarah, second. Tony, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.
Okay, I'll do a little bit more embarrassing slash congratulating. So Ms. Capel-Eden has been an administrator in Sachem since the 2006-2007 school year. During this time, Kristen has served in several capacities, including assistant principal of North, administrator for personnel, and assistant superintendent for personnel. Personnel is not a glamorous position, as you may think. The personnel office here in Sachem serves our over 2,000 staff members, and each personnel situation is certainly unique. Kristen has the ability to appropriately assess each situation accordingly and subsequently prioritizes them in order to address each situation appropriately. During her time in this role, Kristen worked to develop and implement new hiring and onboarding processes for all certificated staff members. This includes teachers, teaching assistants, and administrators. These upgrades have been critical to our ability to continue hiring the most qualified staff members, as you saw this evening. And she continues to collaborate with our administrative team to streamline these practices. Kristen is a great resource of institutional history and knowledge for our district, and her contributions to the district are integral to our ongoing communication with the employees of the Sachem School District. I think perhaps Kristen's greatest strength is her ability to have difficult conversations that acknowledge the employees and their emotions during every situation. Kristen's maintained a personal yet professional touch in dealing with delicate issues, and she does so with a tremendous amount of discretion and grace. Ms. Capel-Eden is an active participant in the Long Island Association of Personnel Administrators, which is LIASPA, and currently holds a leadership position. This is important to Sachem in regard to keeping us up to date on the most recent legal requirements associated with this legally bound area. And it is without hesitation that I recommended Kristen to the Board of Education for tenure. So congratulations, Kristen.
Congratulations, Kristen. 4D4, tenure appointment of administrative personnel. May I please have a motion? Mike, second. Bill, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Another opportunity to embarrass. Sachem alumni, Ms. Trombetta has been a building administrator in the district since the 2006-2007 school year. During this time period, Patty has served in several capacities, including assistant principal of Sagamore Middle School, principal of Grundy Elementary School, principal of Sagamore Middle School, and principal of Sachem North since 2015. Patty has been described as a leader who always has a student-centered approach, as someone who builds community, and as someone who is willing to tackle new challenges. These attributes have remained consistent themes throughout her probationary time as the principal of Sachem North. In my observations of Patty, I've seen that one of her greatest attributes is her ability to develop relationships with students. Her expansive knowledge of the student body is evident when I walk down the hall with her. Patty greets the students in the hallways and often asks about them or their families. She can be seen hugging or high-fiving students, asking students about their day, or reminding them to remove their hoods while inside the building, too. These relationships extend far beyond the school day, where Patty is highly visible to the community. Patty's a familiar face at North athletic competitions, music and choral performances, drama and musical productions, honor society, recognition ceremonies, orientations, and the many other events that take place at a comprehensive large high school. I think Patty's been to St. Louis for robotics. She's been to Florida for cheer competitions, and she's certainly done her fair share of back and forth to D.C. for the senior trip as well. Patty cares deeply about the Sachem School District and specifically the Sachem North community. I've seen her engage in conversations with students when they decided appropriate ways to protest school violence, to celebrate with students as they completed another successful food drive or an athletic championship, and I've watched her cry with her students and staff as they've dealt with challenging issues. Under Ms. Trombetta's leadership, Sachem North High School has taken many steps toward becoming a premier high school. Her experience and expertise have proven and will continue to prove to be an asset to our district. And it's without hesitation that I recommended Patty to the Board of Education for tenure. So congratulations, Patty.
Congratulations, Patty. We're now on page 12, consent agenda for action items 511 through 5115. Can I please have a motion? Bill, second. Meredith, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We're now on page 16. Consent agenda for donations 521 through 526. May I please have a motion? Meredith, second. Bill, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Transfers 531, approval of budget transfers 50,000 or greater. May I please have a motion? Meredith, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. 541, recommendation from the Committee on Special Education. Motion, Meredith. Second, Sarah. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Determination from the Committee on Preschool Special Education. 6A1, motion, Bill. Second, Mike. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Board of Education subcommittees. Anything on the Legislative Committee, Krupa?
Our next meeting is on May 29th, and okay. We'll be exploring different legislative initiatives at that time.
Thank you. The Audit Committee, we're meeting May?
The 15th and 22nd.
Okay, and then there'll be an update. Then the Budget Advisory Committee, Meredith?
We had a very productive meeting tonight, and we are still exploring the 9 period days, and we will be meeting again on May 29th. Thanks.
The Policy Committee?
I'm still working to get some dates together for the Policy Committee. We're looking for one more date for this year. It shouldn't be an issue, but there are a lot of conflicts with the calendars at this point of the year, so I will let the board know when that date is resolved.
Thank you. And Erin, do we have any dates for curriculum council? Is there one more, right?
We do have one in June. I would be remiss in saying that I okay. remember the exact date, but
I thought there was one more for the year, right?
There is one more for the year, and anybody that is a member will have a reminder to go out next week.
All right. Thank you so much. Anybody have any future agenda items? Okay, the visitor section, I'll call Mr. Jim Kiernan.
I just want to say a few words about one of our many brave men and women in blue. Officer Vartanian of the 34th Precinct, NYPD, in Washington Heights, was shot in the right arm after responding to a man firing gun call. He confronted the suspect, who ran from the scene with Justin in pursuit. The suspect turned and fired, striking Justin in the arm. Although wounded, Officer Vartanian was able to get off one shot at the suspect. The suspect was eventually shot and killed by additional responding officers. Officer Vartanian has been released from St. Luke's Hospital, and he's currently at home recovering from his wounds. I'm not sure whether anyone on the board or the administration is aware, but Police Officer Vartanian is a Sachem graduate. Police Officer Justin Vartanian graduated from Sachem in 2002. The reason I bring this to the attention of the board and the administration is to acknowledge the bravery of our police officers, and especially in this case, one of our own Sachem graduates. Perhaps the district could reach out to Officer Justin Vartanian and let him know that We Are Sachem is not just a slogan, and his bravery will not go unnoticed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kiernan. Right. That's what I thought. He was a coach, right? Okay. Thank you. That's what I thought. Thanks, Meredith. Okay. Anything else? Can I please have a motion to go into executive session to discuss collective negotiations, the employment of a particular personnel, and matters relating to a particular student? Sarah, second. Meredith, all in favor? Thank you. Everybody have a good evening. And remember to get out and vote.